Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Brian London, our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference. It is happening again this year in October. Shad and I are both planning on being down there. Brian is also the editor of the Gold Newsletter. Now, Brian, look, we'll chat about the precious metals and gold today, a little bit down, but right around that 1850 level. It almost seems like 1850 is the new 1800 with how much gold is just kind of oscillated around that level. The thing is that that's actually a, well, historically good price for gold, but also when you take into account what's happened this year with other sectors completely selling off, gold is still mostly flat on the year. I realize that we had a nice pop early on in the year, kind of that war premium, and it has sold off from there, but again, gold is holding up pretty well in this volatile and bear market, it seems like, that we're seeing. Why, though, Brian, do you think everyone seems so depressed? Why are all the gold bugs so disappointed at this current price level?
Yeah, you know, I just did an Ask Us Anything webinar yesterday with my friend Nick Hodge, another newsletter writer in the industry. And it seemed like the common theme from everyone who asked questions was, when is this going to end? When are we going to get the mining stocks and the metals to move? This is terrible. And, you know, I could offer them not much that was very consoling. You know, things like, I've seen much worse. Nobody wants to hear that. Things like, well, you know, gold has done very well on a relative basis. You know, the stock market's down considerably. Bitcoin's down 33%. Gold's actually up 1 or 2% year to date. But nobody wants to hear that. They look at what's going on, inflation, 8.5%, the deficit, the Fed actually tightening, which is, you know, surprisingly to many people, is actually a bullish factor for the metals. All of this going on, and gold should be hundreds of dollars higher. I can't argue with that. I think it should be as well. But we've had a lot of, you know, noise in the signal with the Russia's invasion of Ukraine. We've had the Fed being much more determined than people really believed, even I believed, to raise rates, and their rhetoric has been much more hawkish than anybody would have expected. So it's been tough going. So when is it going to change? You know, I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. But if I had to say anything, I think that we're probably looking at maybe late summer as a buying opportunity to get in early, and maybe the fall is a rally opportunity for the metals, because I think it's going to take that long for the Fed to start getting real pushback on its rate hike campaign, either from the markets or from the impact it's having on the cost of servicing the federal debt.
Well, Brian, I think you lay out the case well there, and I think it's important to compartmentalize the price of the metals versus the price of the mining stocks, because they really are two different, completely different animals. Most people are in the precious metals as a hedge in their portfolio, as an insurance product in a way, guarding against financial chaos. And I agree, you would think with all the chaos we're seeing geopolitically, monetary policy, fiscal policy, that we would see higher precious metals prices. But as you pointed out, they have diverged from most of the markets. And I would say a key difference between this year and 2022 and the prior 2 years is, in the prior 2 years, everything else was going up except the precious metals, because right, you had all the meme stocks and the tech stocks that were growth oriented. And you had all the stay-at-home stocks ratcheting new highs and the reopening trade ratcheting new highs and NFTs and cryptos. That's not happening now. Everything else got creamed across the board. Everything's down 30, 40, 50, 60% in those highly speculative sectors. So now there's not the missing out on other sectors factor, but the mining stocks are still equities, and they are still very volatile. So if people are depressed being in mining stocks, isn't that kind of a different animal than people that are invested in just the metals themselves?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, they're speculative. They're in it. You know, it's gambling, let's face it. You know, it's you can call it investing, but it's really the far speculative end of that spectrum. And, you know, we're in it for the excitement of a big, big move. You know, we're looking for an environment where we're expecting a stock to double over the next year, as opposed to over the next 10 years or whatever. But yeah, it you know, we are performing better on a relative basis because nothing else is, and that is good. You know, I did a gold versus Bitcoin debate on Wednesday, and you know, I've done a number of those over the years, and I have to admit, it was a lot easier making the argument this week than it was, say, 6 months or a year ago. You know, when Bitcoin was just kicking gold's ass and everything else. Bitcoin's down over 30%. Gold's up a couple of points. It's a much better argument to be making right now. But still, you know, we're looking at our portfolios and they're not going anywhere. And I think it's also important for us to note that we're on borrowed time right now. The mining companies, generally speaking, still have cash. They can still go out and drill, but it's not as easy to do a financing, and not that you even want to do a financing at current levels. So not as many companies are going to market. They're kind of afraid of what the reaction they'll get. They might not be able to fill up a financing. And again, you know, if they do, they're going to take a real beating at current price levels. So we probably only have another, maybe this expiration season, or 4 or 5 months before companies are going to start pulling back and getting really conservative. And your news flow is going to suffer, et cetera, et cetera. So hopefully by the end of the summer, we can really get things going.
I'm already seeing companies start to pull back, start to downgrade some of their exploration programs because they are getting worried about cash in the bank, because it is a, as you outlined, very tough market. We're seeing some very good groups out there have to finance with warrants, and they haven't issued warrants before. And that just goes to show how tough this market is. We are still seeing news flow out of these companies. There's still a lot of drill results hitting the market, as well as other news events. Brian, are you seeing anything that's actually moving these stocks? I know today there were actually a couple news releases that moved the stock higher on the back of some drill results. These are more recent, but overall, what are you seeing that can actually add value to the share price?
Yeah, you have to have spectacular drill results these days to get the market's attention. You know, I'm not going to mention any names, but I saw some really great drill results from a silver company we follow early in the week. And it's back to that kind of metaphor of you stick your head out of the foxhole and you just get shot. So, you know, it was a selling. The great news was a selling opportunity, trading volume, so people can dump the stock, and the share price actually fell on the news. There's a lot of cynicism out there. It's not as bad. Again, I've seen much worse. So let's don't get too depressed. But, you know, prices right now, the gold price is okay for companies that are producing or developing projects. It gives them a decent margin for most economic projects. But the market, the investors, the speculators, they don't care about where the price is. They care about where it's going. And we have to have an uptrend. We have to have a rally to get people excited. That said, it won't take much. You know, if the gold price pops up 10, 15%, you will be shocked to see how quickly the fear of missing out hits the junior mining sector and how quickly these things take off.
Well, Brian, you also mentioned, you know, putting your head out the foxhole and getting shot if you put out any news, which is what we're hearing from a lot of companies too. They're almost afraid to put out news, even if it's good news, because they're afraid it'll become a liquidity event and reason for other people to exit their positions. But I'm going to bring up a topic that may not be a popular idea, but I think it's worth considering in investing in a speculative space. And how important is timing and luck to this? Because there are times where there are companies that are not putting out nearly as good of results as we're seeing now that ratchet higher because we're in a bull market. And it doesn't matter what the news is, people just buy. Even bad news is bought in the bull market. And in a bear market, you can have great news or good news, and it still becomes a liquidity event. And so some of this isn't necessarily the company's fault or the management team's fault. It's just timing out the cycle and getting lucky and saying, hey, you put out the news in a good cycle versus a bad cycle. How much of that plays into this?
Yeah, you know, luck is not a viable investing strategy, but you know, I probably made more money on that than anything else in my long career. You have to be positioned. And I think the real lesson of what you just said is you have to be buying, not necessarily when blood is in the streets, but when nobody's paying attention, because you will have those opportunities. You have to have this staying power to hold on to those positions until they do move. And right now is a good time. You know, I'm telling people I'm not ready to jump in head first in the market, but generally speaking, this and the past few months and the next few months are probably good times to look at some of these really good companies that are well positioned and accumulate them, because you have to have a good feeling that there's going to be an exit point at over the next year or even 2 years where those stocks at these levels are going to be trading, you know, 80, 100, 120% higher on the basis of just what they're doing in steady markets. And they could be much higher if you get the markets, if you get the tailwinds behind you. So you have to be disciplined. And, you know, luck favors the prepared. Preparing means you take advantage of real values when they're there. And also you take advantage of profit opportunities when they're handed to you.
So, Brian, when you do start pulling the trigger into some of these companies, are you going to be starting more with the mid-tiers or some of the producers, or are you going to dive right into the more riskier explorers?
Well, the mid-tiers and the producers would probably be the more prudent and smarter thing to do. But you know how I can't resist the expiration plays and those fun stories. I am participating in a few placements here and there at some of these bargain basement levels in some expiration plays and in companies that, you know, we've recommended in Gold Newsletter that are down a good bit from even our entry levels, that I really like their long-term prospects. So, yeah, I'm taking advantage of a few placements here and there, but there's not an awful lot of placements right now. It's going to be interesting what happens with PDAC, too. A lot of companies are putting out news this week in preparation for PDAC. I'm expect that we'll see a flurry of news releases on Monday. You know, that's kind of expected. It's a typical March phenomenon. So it's really interesting the way it's playing out this year. But a lot of exploration programs are starting, and there's probably going to be some excitement generated from PDAC, and we're probably going to see companies going into the market and trying to get financings done post-PDAC. And I'm going to try to tie my hands by my side and not participate. But you know how you get caught up in some of these things.
Well, Brian, it's interesting that PDAC is happening in the summer instead of the spring. I guess it's better for weather for folks in Toronto from that standpoint. But it's interesting that, like you say, for every conference, companies rush to put out news before that, so they have something to talk about while they're at the conference. Yeah. But do you think that the news cycle that we've seen, especially with drilling, is just out of seasonality? Because normally we get all this drilling in the fall, and then those reports happen, you know, kind of into the winter, and you're basically building up the war chest and raising money on those results for the next season. We're still seeing drill results trickle in from 2021 because the assay labs have been so backed up. And a lot of companies were waiting on those drill results before they plan their next drill program. So now we're halfway through this year, and some companies are just getting ready to start their quote-unquote 2022 drill program. So is the seasonality factor just a little screwy right now? Is that another thing playing with the market?
Yeah, I think it's playing with the mining stock market. You know, we talked about this. I think I mentioned it in one of our previous talks that I was talking with one company that was planning a major, probably 10,000 meter or more drill program without having the results from last year's program, which is not the right way to do things, but they had to do it. You know, they were forced to do it and kind of adjust on the fly. So, yeah, I think that's a bit of a factor. But then again, you know, the metals themselves, they overwhelm every other factor out there in the junior mining market. If gold is soaring, if silver is soaring and they're really taking off, all sins are forgiven in the junior mining stock market, and everything rises along with them, and they turn around very quickly. So, you know, that's what I think we need to focus on and look at. And you made another great point, Shad, that, you know, a real, after all my years in the industry, you can look at charts, you can look at everything else, but the one thing that is a hallmark of a bear market is when prices fall on good news, when good news is interpreted as an excuse to sell. In a bull market, conversely, is when prices rise even on bad news, when the market finds some excuse to buy. So right now, we are in that atmosphere where we're getting, at least for some of these individual stocks, and perhaps even gold and silver themselves, the market's finding reasons to sell. I do expect that. I think that the factors pushing the metals higher are irresistible. It's just a matter of when they're really going to kick in. And again, looking at seasonality, looking at the Fed, probably late summer or sometime in the fall.
All right, Brian, we're going to wrap it up here. It sounds like it's going to be a pretty slow summer, but that's a good time to dive into your portfolio and make some adjustments because right now, quite frankly, everything is sold off. So time to put some money into some of the better stocks because they do usually run better and stronger. And also maybe they'll weather a bit more of selling if there is still more selling to come. Brian, thank you as always for your time, man. We'll chat again in another couple weeks. I hope you enjoy PDAC and looking forward to the recap. Thanks for your time, Brian.
Great. Thanks, guys.